The look in Bob's eyes made Anya's heart ache. She could tell it was taking all his strength to maintain his sanity.
You're leaving me here?
Anya took his hand.
Your wound is too critical to try and get you out of here myself.
And the psycho doctor?
He says he'll take care of you.
You believe him?
I don't have much choice. I'm kind of stuck here.
What's he get out of the deal?
Amnesty. His partner, the one I killed, takes the fall for all of this stuff, and he plays the role of the victim in it. It's the best solution to the problem we're facing here.
It's not a solution at all. That guy will get off and be free to keep doing what he's been doing. More people will die. I'd almost rather you kill him now and not worry about me.
I can't do that.
Kill him or leave me?
Leave you, pal. I'm getting you out of this situation intact, I swear it.
Where's he now?
Cleaning up the place so there's no evidence tying him to this? I don't know. Hell, he could be getting back into his priest robes for all I know.
Don't be long.
I won't, I promise. I'll be back as soon as I can get some real medical help to transport you back to Magadan.
Bob's eyes shone in the dim light. Anya gave him one last squeeze and turned away. Back in the laboratory, Jerchenko had indeed changed back into his robes. Anya shook her head. As a priest, he looked utterly disarming and kindly.
I'm leaving.
So I see.
You keep an eye on him, both eyes. And you'd better make sure he's good to go. As soon as I get back, I'm getting him the hell out of here.
I still know how to take care of people, Anya.
Yeah, I know. You did a good job patching him up. Just make sure he stays that way. And if you screw that up, you won't like what I do to you.
Anya turned for the door. She quickly traversed a dimly lit staircase that led to the kitchen of the church. Anya stood in the doorway, looking at the dim gray light of dawn just starting to peek into the church. The old lingering scent of incense hung in the air.
Please keep him safe.
Anya ducked down the center aisle and moved for the open front door. A breeze blew into Anya, but the air felt warmer than it had overnight. For the first time in a couple of days, Anya could see clear sky overhead. She headed down the main street of the village. She needed a truck or a car, something she could use to drive back to Magadan and get help. She looked around. Most of the village looked to be one giant snowdrift. And even though there was no more snow falling, the wind blew the light, fluffy flakes up like a desert dust, clouding her vision. Anya could see piles of snow, but couldn't figure out if any vehicles lay beneath them. She needed help. A thin plume of smoke wafted out of a stovepipe by the cafe. The windows were fogged up. Anya smiled. The cook might help her if she asked. A blast of hot air belted Anya like a right cross. She leaned back and then smiled.
Good morning.
The cook recognized her and smiled. She stepped back, inviting Anya inside. Anya stepped in and looked around. No one else was in the cafe. The tables were all set. The cook rested her hands on her hips and smiled broadly.
Da?
Anya frowned. Communicating was going to be a challenge.
I need a car. Or a truck.
The cook looked at her and frowned.
Automobile? I need to get to Magadan. My friend is injured badly and he needs a doctor.
Magadan, da!
Yes.
Vroom, vroom, Magadan, da! You, sit!
Anya sat at the table. Something smelled delicious. She hadn't realized how famished she was. The cook returned from the kitchen with a plate of what looked like scrambled eggs and some type of meat. She brought a cup of steaming coffee and set it in front of Anya.
You!
Thank you, but I have to get back to Magadan. My friend is hurt.
Nyet, eat!
Anya picked up a fork. Perhaps it wouldn't make a difference if she bolted a bit of breakfast first. At least this way, she'd be in good shape for traveling. The cook sipped coffee as she watched Anya shovel forkful after forkful of food into her mouth. She couldn't stop eating the breakfast until there was nothing left.
That was fantastic. Thank you so much. But I really need to get going now.
The cook shook her head and pointed at the clock high up on the yellowed wall.
Magadan, no!
What? You mean it's too early? No one's up yet? Something like that?
Magadan, nyet!
I need to get going. I'll find someone else to help me with the car.
Anya stood. The cook rose up next to her and tried to push Anya back into the seat.
Нет!
Cut it out. Don't try to stop me. I need to get back to Magadan.
Нет! Нет! Нет!
Thanks for the breakfast, really. I appreciate it.
Weird town, Anya decided. She needed to get out of this place, with Bob. She looked up and down the street. Where to find a car? She headed back to the hotel. Maybe Tupolev's wife would have the keys to a vehicle she could take. She smirked. It'd be the least she could do, considering her husband was a dead nut. She'd have to tell her, Anya thought. But not right now. Her priority was getting the vehicle and driving back to Magadan. When she got back, she could break the news. As she approached the inn, she could make out several muddled sets of footprints in the deep snow. By the look of it, people were at least awake now. Small puddles of water lay about the floor just inside the door. She could see coats hanging off the line of pegs stuck into the knobby wall by the fireplace. There were several pair of boots underneath them.
Hello?
Anya walked over to the kitchen and pushed through the swinging door. The kitchen was rustic but functional. In the back, she could see a bunch of garlic garlands dangling from a rack, and the air smelled of last night's big meal. Anya walked through the kitchen and toward the back pantry.
Static.
As she approached the back of the pantry, Anya could see a small radio transmitter. A bass microphone sat nearby. Maybe she didn't have to drive to Magadan after all. Maybe she could radio for help. She sat down on a nearby chair and flipped a few of the switches and dials.
Mayday, mayday, mayday. Trying to reach anyone in Magadan. Over.
Anya frowned and tried to remember anything she knew about radios. With the clear skies overhead, she shouldn't have any trouble getting reception or transmitting a signal, unless the antenna was down. If the storm wrecked the antenna, Anya thought, I could be wasting my time here.
Hello?
Amerikansky?
Hello, can someone help me? I need help from Magadan.
Magadan?
Yes, Magadan. I have a friend here who is injured. I need medical help sent immediately.
Magadan. Da, okay, I hear you. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm okay. My friend is not okay. He needs help.
Where are you? I will send doctor.
Oh, thank God. Thank you. We're in...
Stop!
Anya turned. Tupolev's wife stood there, holding a very ugly pistol in one hand. The barrel was aimed at Anya's heart. Anya eyed Tupolev's wife. The gun she held didn't waver at all, and her eyes looked as cold as steel left out in the Siberian winter. Anya moved very slowly, turning around so she could fully face her. She raised her hands.
Don't.
Hello? Where are you? Hello?
Don't shoot.
You killed my husband.
Yes.
Why? Why did you kill him?
He meant to kill me. I did it in self-defense.
That's not what I was told.
Who told you?
Who do you think?
Jerchenko. It had to be. Anya frowned. If Jerchenko had been in touch with Tupolev's wife, it meant Bob might be in grave danger. She eased herself around in the chair some more. The gun barrel was now aimed at her head.
Do not move anymore, or I will shoot you.
I understand. Did you know what your husband was doing?
Whatever he did, it was the right thing for us. I loved him dearly.
Her English was too good, too polished, Anya thought.
You've been schooled abroad.
You have keen ears. But you don't speak Russian?
Not much.
No matter. It doesn't matter if you speak the language or not. Either way, it translates to you dying.
Tupolev was bad. He did horrible things to people. He killed people. You understand this?
The people he killed deserved what they got.
You ran this hotel and lured travelers here so he could experiment on them with Jerchenko.
No one missed them. No one ever came looking for them.
That doesn't make it right.
Does it make it right that you killed him then? Stand up.
Where are we going?
You saw the boots and the coats in the other room?
Yes.
We have company. Some people here are eager to meet with you.
Anya frowned. What the hell did that mean? No one even knew she was here. How could there be anyone here to meet with her? It didn't make sense. The woman gestured with the pistol.
We're going upstairs now. Go through this door and go upstairs. I'll be right behind you the entire time. If you try anything, I will shoot you.
I won't.
If nothing else, Anya wanted to see who these people were. She pushed through the kitchen door and then turned right to the steps. She could sense Tupolev's wife behind her, but at a measured distance. She was far enough away that Anya wouldn't be able to attack her without taking a bullet.
You could give me the gun now, and we could settle this in a better way.
Stop talking and keep moving! I don't want to present you to our guests as a corpse.
Where to?
Down the hall. The last room on the left.
Anya started down the hall. She passed her old room and then Gregor's. She winced at the thought of what he'd become and what she had been forced to do to him. The door at the end on the left beckoned.
That's far enough.
Anya stopped and turned slightly so she could see. Tupolev's wife gestured at the door.
Open it.
The door opened easily. Inside, Anya counted five men. All of them looked stocky. Their faces were a bright red. Anya spotted several open bottles of vodka on the table in the room. The largest of the men smiled broadly as Anya entered.
Ah, so here she is.
Tupolev's wife came in behind Anya and stood off to the side. Her gun stayed on Anya the entire time. Anya looked at the portly man in front of her.
Sorry, do I know you?
No, I would be surprised if you did.
You know me, though.
Oh, yes, I most certainly do. Anya Creed, world-famous archaeologist, television host, and all-around interesting woman.
Thanks, I think.
Please, please, sit down. We'd like to talk to you. My name is Misha. I have other names, but you can call me Misha. It makes everything that much easier than long Russian names, don't you think?
Anya glanced at the other men in the room. They all seemed to have paused as if waiting for something. Whoever they were, she didn't feel any safer now than she had with Tupolev's wife.
Nice to meet you, Misha.
Vladimir here thought you would be difficult, that you would make trouble for us. I told him otherwise, and we bet on it. Needless to say, he now owes me.
Very nice.
You can go now, Mrs. Tupolev.
No! I must kill her to avenge my husband! You said I could! I was only to bring her here and you would let me have her when you were through with her!
Misha nodded his head. Anya turned just in time to see Tupolev's wife crumple to the ground, twin black holes punched through her forehead. Her gun slid to the floor. Misha shook his head.
Ah, people are always so temperamental. And really, there's no need for it. Business is business. It gets complicated when people allow their emotions to interfere. Don't you agree?
I suppose.
You're wary. I was told you were a careful one. I don't blame you. If I were in your position, I would feel exactly as you do now. I would make sure I said as little as possible while trying to fathom the people across from me.
That's about it.
Aren't you curious?
About what?
About who we are.
I'm more curious about Tupolev's wife.
She became problematical. We no longer need her.
All right. Now I'm curious as to who you are.
I think you met some associates of ours. Yes, Yuri and Oleg were my men. Scouts, so to speak. We sent them ahead to handle things here. And it looks like they got themselves handled instead, eh?
They were going to kill us.
You're going to use the same excuse on me that you used on Tupolev's wife there? That you killed them in self-defense?
I don't go around purposefully killing people, Misha. If I kill, it's always in self-defense.
I see. Well, fortunately for you, I'm not upset.
You're not?
Yes. They were dear to me, all of my men are. But they knew the risks associated with our line of work, and they embraced those risks. They should be commended for falling in battle.
I don't mean to be rude, but what are we doing here?
What I am doing is trying to figure out whether I should kill you or not.
Ah.
You see, while I am not one to hold a grudge, my men here want revenge for their fallen comrades. I am trying to decide if I should honor their request for your death or not.
Well, don't let me interrupt.
Why don't you tell me what happened here?
In town?
I sent Yuri and Olakir to scare the villagers into moving and giving up their land rights. The area is filled with natural resources my companies can exploit.
I think they were trying to do just that when they followed us into the mountains.
Why did you go into the mountains?
Anya related the entire story of Khosadam to Misha, and how things had unraveled to the point that Anya was looking for medical help for Bob. When she finished, Misha looked at her curiously.
And no part of what you just told me was fabricated for my pleasure?
I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried.
Interesting. And you say this Dyertyenko character is creating super soldiers?
He's trying to. Supposedly he's backed by someone very powerful.
Fascinating. I never thought I would ever hear a story like this. But then, it just goes to prove you can't assume anything in life, eh?
That's what I've been learning.
And so, here we are.
Here we are.
All right, then.
You're going to kill me?
I don't know yet. But for right now, I want to see this man Dyertyenko. His work intrigues me.
He'll pretend he's just a priest.
He can pretend he's an earthworm for all I care. But when I ask him questions, he'd better be honest with me. Otherwise, he may just die in his fantasy world.
Right.
Let us go.
Misha's men led the way down the street to the church. As they walked, Misha stayed close to Anya.
You've been enjoying your stay in my country.
I haven't really seen all that much, to be honest. I flew into Moscow and then took the train straight to Magadan.
Shame. That's no way to experience Russia. You should take your time. There is a great deal to see.
Supposedly there's a tunnel that runs from the hotel to the underground laboratory at the church, but I had no idea where to look. Sorry.
The fresh air does us all good. After all, we can never tell when it might be our last, eh?
Anya glanced at him. Was he implying that she might be killed and she should relish this moment? She closed her eyes for a split second and saw the sword ready to draw out. Seeing it gave her a bit of comfort. What did Misha want with Dyertyenko anyway? Why not just storm the laboratory and kill him? That way, Misha and his men could take over the village and plunder its natural resources. While Anya might normally frown on that activity, she wanted nothing more than to get Bob to safety and see Dyertyenko's operations stopped. They reached the church. Misha looked at Anya.
Now, let me ask you something very important.
Yes?
You haven't led us into a trap, have you? This man, Dyertyenko, isn't waiting up there ready to ambush us, is he?
The last thing he knew, I was on my way out of this village. I was supposed to get a car or truck and drive back to Magadan. Once there, I'd get help and alert the police about what happened here.
Anything else?
When we were headed back, I was supposed to call his cell phone and let him know. That way he'd be able to get ready.
Ready?
The deal was I'd blame everything on Tupolev. Dyertyenko would play the unwitting dupe, the humble country priest.
I see.
That's the truth. I've been nothing but honest with you. All I want is to get my friend out of here.
What happened to him?
During the fight in the cave with your men, he took a bullet. I watched him die, but this guy Dyertyenko apparently brought him back to life.
Is that so?
Yeah.
All right.
Misha nodded at his men, and they fanned out on either side of the church. Two of them crested the steps and waited on either side of the front doors. Anya watched them move in perfect choreography as they swung low and entered the church, each man taking a side. After a few seconds, they reemerged and waved Misha and the others in.
Impressive.
I never settled for mediocre talent.
They walked into the church. Misha leaned closer to Anya.
You lead the way. My men will back you up. If any shooting starts, I advise you to hug the ground and let us handle things, okay?
Okay.
Anya walked down the center aisle. Somewhere beneath her, Dyertyenko waited with Bob. The key, she thought, would be getting Bob away from Dyertyenko as fast as possible. Once Dyertyenko heard them coming, he would suspect a trap and might kill Bob out of spite. They entered the kitchen. One of Misha's men tapped her on the shoulder. Anya turned and he gestured that he should go first at the door leading down. He held a compact Kalashnikov submachine gun. Anya leaned out of his way, and he approached the door. He set the gun down and ran his fingers over the lip of the door, peered underneath, and generally tried to examine the door structure as much as possible. Booby traps. Anya hadn't even thought that Jerchenko might try something like that. Misha's man came away from the door. In his hands, Anya spotted a monofilament wire and a palm-sized grenade. Misha stepped forward and examined the booby trap without saying a word. He nodded to his man, who pocketed the grenade. Misha glanced at Anya and waggled his eyebrows. She cursed herself for underestimating Jerchenko. Another one of Misha's men moved to the door. He cracked the door, and Anya felt a warm breeze waft into the room. Misha's man edged his way into the darkness, and Anya strained her ears to catch any sound that he might make. He was completely silent. "These guys are good," she decided. Misha certainly wasn't lying about the talent pool he hired from. The man reemerged about 4 minutes later and nodded at Misha. Their hands seemed to carry on a silent conversation, almost like sign language. Misha nodded at his other men, and they all vanished down the black rabbit hole. Then Misha nodded to Anya and pointed. Time to go down. Anya went first, and Misha floated along behind her. She noticed that his footsteps were as light and quiet as those of his men, despite his bulky size. Anya figured him for military at some point in his life. Remarkably, Anya felt safer then than at any other point during the trip thus far. There was something strangely comforting about the presence of Misha and his men, and while Anya knew that they could just as easily shoot her dead as anyone else, she was happy not to be alone for this battle. Jerchenko wouldn't be able to spring any nasty surprises on them. The numbers simply weren't in his favor. Anya stopped behind the others at the bottom of the staircase. Misha came up behind her, and she could feel his body heat.
Now where do we go?
He'll be in there with my friend.
You will go in first.
Me?
Better you than us. When he sees you, he'll let his guard down, and then we'll rush him so we can have a nice chat.
He'll wonder why I didn't call.
Tell him your phone is broken. I don't care.
He'll wonder how I happened to get past his grenade booby trap.
You tell him you were an army brat and your father worked in explosive ordnance disposal. Look, it doesn't matter. Just walk in and let him see you.
Fine.
Anya pushed past the men below her and faced the open doorway. Beyond it, Bob waited for her. She only hoped Jerchenko wasn't standing over him with a scalpel. Knowing Jerchenko, she'd be lucky if he hadn't already turned Bob into one of those creatures. She took a moment to check that she could still draw her sword. With her eyes closed, she could see it hovering in her mind's eye. She was ready. She opened her eyes and put her hand on the latch to the door. The lighting was intense, and Anya brought her hands up to her eyes, shielding them somewhat from the harsh glare.
Jerchenko? Jerchenko?
Around her, Misha's men came rushing in. She blinked again, and her vision finally cleared. Around her, she could see the laboratory. Most of the equipment had vanished. Only a few large units remained, sitting idly in the corner. Misha stepped up beside Anya.
Where are they?
I don't know. This is where I left them. He's gone.
Your friend?
Yes.
I'm not going to insult you by suggesting you lied to me and my men. You seem much too intelligent for such juvenile antics.
Thank you.
However, if neither Jerchenko nor your friend are around, we need to find out where they went.
I'll gladly help you.
Misha waved over one of his men. Anya recognized him as the one who had disarmed the booby trap.
Vladimir, how could he have placed the booby trap and then left?
It is possible that the booby trap was positioned from the outside rather than down here on the ground.
Which means what?
Which means that Jerchenko could have set it as he exited the door. We were supposed to be killed by it. It wasn't a precaution at all.
When I find that guy...
When we find him...
You're not going to kill me after this.
I don't see any need to. You just want to get home. I don't imagine what we do interests you that much now, does it?
Get me and my friend on a plane and you can take over the whole country as far as I'm concerned.
You really are quite smart. Too bad you won't stay around for some sightseeing. I'd very much love to get to know you better.
Some other time.
So, where would he go?
Anya looked around the laboratory. Jerchenko could have made his way back down the other tunnel to the caves and gotten into the mountains. But with Bob in critical condition, he had to stay close to civilization. And Jerchenko was probably looking to turn Bob into another experiment. He'd keep him alive.
They've got to be in town somewhere.
That's what I would think, too.
When did you and your men get here?
Last night. We arrived at the inn very early this morning.
We probably missed each other by a few minutes. I went out looking for Gregor last night after he disappeared.
Gregor?
Another man we were traveling with.
What became of him?
Jerchenko made him into something awful. I faced him in combat.
And you killed him?
Yes.
You become more interesting with every passing minute, Anya Creed.
I just defended myself, that's all.
So, we're going back to the village then?
Yes.
Misha's men cleared out of the laboratory, moving up the steps toward the kitchen. Misha's bomb man went to the door again, checking to make sure they hadn't been lured into the cellar to kill them.
All clear.
What is that sound?
Is it praying? Vladimir, open the door.
The church is full of worshippers. Mass? Yes.
Who is the priest leading the service, Vladimir? What's he look like?
He's fairly nondescript, slightly stooped over. Nothing remarkable about him.
That's Jerchenko. It has to be him. That's our guy.
The priest?
I told you that was his disguise.
Yes, but... Well, he's a priest.
Has that ever stopped you before?
Well, I don't know. I've never had to deal with the church in this way before.
It's not the church. He's an imposter trying to hide among his flock. It's not like he's a real priest.
All right. I need a moment to figure out how we're going to pull this off.
Misha huddled up with his men in the middle of the stairs, and Anya crept to the door and peeked out. All of the pews were filled with people. Anya saw villagers she'd never seen before. She saw men and women only, no children. Their heads were bowed in prayer as Jerchenko led them with his arms raised toward heaven. The only place you're going is straight to hell, Anya thought. She scanned the crowd but couldn't see Bob anywhere. Maybe he's in the office near the front of the church, she thought. Jerchenko's flock seemed serious about their worship. Misha's hand rested on Anya's shoulder.
We have a plan.
Okay, I'm listening.
Two of my men will exit here by that window. They'll proceed around to the front of the church, and at the countdown, they'll come in and post at either of the far corners.
Got it.
At the same time, we will exit here, and my other two men will post at these nearest corners. You and I will handle Jerchenko.
So you're trying to bottle up the church and keep anyone from leaving?
If we can keep it contained, we don't have to kill anyone. We can grab Jerchenko, get him to reveal where he stole your friend, and then he and I can have ourselves a talk about his future.
I like it.
Oh, so glad you approve. All right, let's move into the kitchen. Get set.
Misha nodded at the two men by the window. Anya watched as they pushed hard on the window, forcing it up from the sill. Both men snaked through the opening and vanished. Misha checked his watch.
Give them a minute.
His other men each held up a finger. Misha nudged Anya away from the entranceway to the main part of the church.
Let my men take control first, and then we will come out.
Anya nodded and stepped back. Misha's men took up their positions by the door. Anya closed her eyes. Her sword still hovered right where she expected it to be. She felt a wave of calm wash over her. For the first time, she felt as if she wasn't about to bite off more than she could chew.
You okay, Anya?
Fine.
As the men got set, Anya noticed that they looked a bit more tense now. She could see it in the way they hunched forward. She could see the barrels of their weapons held obliquely low just off the horizon. She recognized the position as low ready. From where they slung their weapons, both men could bring them to target and fire in an instant. Trained professionals about to do what they did best, Anya was glad she was on this side of the door. She smirked. What strange bedfellows the world can make. Here she was about to storm a church with Russian mafia members in the hope they could rescue Bicycle Bob from crazy scientist Jerchenko. Anya wondered what Misha intended to do with Cherchenko. Then she just as quickly decided she didn't care.
5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Misha's men seemed to explode through the kitchen door as one entity. From somewhere down near the front of the church, Anya could hear the main doors burst inward.
Everybody shut up! Put your hands where I can see them!
They'll call us out when they've got it under control.
They're not screaming.
Maybe they're in shock. They might confuse my men for the second coming.
I don't know.
Clear!
Let's go.
They pushed through the kitchen door, and Anya could see Misha's men at every corner, their guns trained on the crowd. Anya turned and looked at Cherchenko. He smiled at her.
Welcome back, Anya Creed.
Forget it. Where did you put Bob?
Aren't you even interested in meeting my flock?
Cherchenko spread his arms, and Anya turned to face the church. Every parishioner stood, but something was wrong. Their hands. Anya whipped her head back at Cherchenko.
You didn't!
Meet my life's work, my dear, and prepare for the ultimate demonstration of my power.
Misha's men waited just long enough for him to nod once. Their submachine guns opened up and ripped into the parishioners. Bullets tore into them, shredding clothes and skin. Blood sprayed everywhere as Misha's men kept up their assault.
No!
Misha gripped Anya's shoulder. Anya looked at him, and he simply shook his head. There would be no mercy given to the parishioners. One of Misha's men dropped a magazine and slid another into its place, but as he did so, one of the parishioners reached out a metallic claw and sliced into his gun hand. Instantly, he was pulled to the floor by the claws. Misha brought his own gun up and double-tapped a parishioner attempting to crawl out of the nearby pew. His bullet slapped into the parishioner's forehead, exploding his skull all over the floor. Anya bit back the flood of bile in her mouth. Behind her, Cherchenko looked horrified as his creatures were being cut down. Another one of Misha's men took a slash across his belly. Anya watched as the crimson line on his stomach seemed to unfurl the contents of his abdomen onto the floor. He sank down beneath a tide of corpses. Misha's two closest men backed up a few steps, trying to get some distance from the parishioners who hadn't been shot and who were clambering over the pews like zombies. Anya saw two more creatures go down under fire from Misha.
This is getting dangerous.
Get Cherchenko. Maybe he can stop them.
Misha nodded and made a run for the altar where Cherchenko stood. He put his pistol up to Jerchenko's temple and eased back the trigger.
Make them stop!
No.
You either tell them to stop right now, or I will decorate this place with your brains.
They haven't eaten in days. I may not be able to control them for long.
Just do it!
Stop! Sit!
The creatures sank back into the pews as if nothing had even happened. Aside from the corpses of their fallen comrades and the puddles of blood and empty shell casings, nothing much had changed. A stiff breeze blew in from the broken windows. Misha looked at his men and nodded.
Finish it.
No! No!
It was too late for Cherchenko to save his creations. They sat there, accepting their fate, as the men raked up and down the pews, slaughtering them all.
Their deaths are on your hands, Cherchenko.
But he ordered them killed.
You killed them a long time ago. You deserve nothing less than the same.
I still have something you want. Very badly, I'd imagine.
Where is he? If you've hurt him, I swear to God.
You'll kill me? I don't think so. You won't touch me if you ever want to see Bob again.
Anya?
Thank you.
Where is this Bob?
Why would I tell you that?
Because I'm a smart man. If you tell me where Bob is and I get Anya and him out of here, then you and I can discuss a possible future together.
What kind of future?
It seems to me you might just have a valuable commodity here. I'm sure there are plenty of people in the world who would be interested in import opportunities.
You're not serious.
Anya, this is business.
This was wholesale slaughter. You can't seriously be thinking about going into business with this guy.
What's more important to you, Bob, or what I do with my time in business?
Bob.
That's what I thought. Now give me a moment here, and I'll see if I can't oblige you, okay?
Fine.
Anya turned away and walked behind the altar. High above, a wooden crucifix hung on the church wall. So much death in a holy place like this. Anya shook her head. She never should have fallen for Jerchenko's trap.
Anya?
Yes?
Bob is in the back office. Go find him.
Anya turned and hurried down the steps of the altar. She had to pick her way through the bodies littering the floor of the church. She almost slipped in the bloody puddles. Anya peeked her head inside the office.
Bob? Bob, it's me, Anya. Oh,
crap. Sorry.
Anya pushed the door open and saw Bob on his gurney. Somehow, he'd managed to get a lamp and throw it at the door as she opened it.
Got some strength back, huh?
What the hell happened out there?
Don't ask.
I'm asking.
Anya filled him in as best she could. When she was finished, Bob shook his head.
This is unbelievable.
I know.
When you left, he came in and laughed the entire time. Said something about gullible women. It was ridiculous blathering that just made my head hurt. He got me up here as his people were filing in. I've never been so scared in my whole life. They all just looked at me like I was dinner.
I think you were.
I think we all were.
I guess it's lucky I ran into Misha and his men then.
Depends on how you define luck, I guess. Can we get out of here now?
I think so. Misha's talking to Jerchenko. It seems obvious they're going to work some kind of deal. It sickens me, but there's nothing I can do about it right now. My priority is getting you out of here.
They'll keep this up, won't they?
Very probably.
Damn.
This is a matter for the authorities, not us. I wish there was something more I could do, but right now...
Yeah.
Anya turned as Vladimir entered the open office door. He pointed toward the altar, and Anya nodded.
Okay, I'll be right there.
He left, and Anya got behind Bob's gurney.
We have an audience with the Pope, apparently.
Oh, my God, look at this place. It's a slaughterhouse. I wonder what the penalty is for killing inside a church.
I don't want to find out.
Anya pushed Bob as far as she could before the bodies barred her way. Misha came over.
You are free to go.
I need help getting him out of here.
I'll tell one of my men to help you. We came in two vehicles. You take one of them and drive back to Magadan. He can get the care he needs there.
What about Jerchenko?
Oh, I think he's got enough on his mind right now to not worry about what you and Bob are up to.
You've been good to me, and I appreciate that. But I implore you not to do anything with Jerchenko. Look at these poor people. Each one of them endured horrific suffering. What kind of price can you put on that?
Plenty. These things will fetch millions with the right buyers. And if we control the village here, we can use it as a base of operations. We'll be safe and secure, and Jerchenko can continue his work.
You're enabling his nightmare to continue.
You have a better idea?
Kill him and stop this madness.
You can really be ruthless when you want to be.
And what about your men who were killed? They won't be the only ones. And when Jerchenko thinks he can get the better of you, he will try it. You might even die at the hands of one of these things.
It's a chance I'm willing to take.
I wish you wouldn't.
What you wish isn't a factor here.
All right, then.
Are we all set here?
I told you to wait over there.
Forgive an old man his passion for working an open wound.
You're scum. Do you know that, Jerchenko?
Has she told you about her magical sword yet?
What?
She has a sword she can summon at will.
Is this true?
I told you wouldn't be able to trust this guy. He's insane and he's already lying to you.
This sword. Show it to me.
Misha, there is no sword. Jerchenko is making it up in order to gain favor with you.
How would Lank gain him any favor with me?
If he is able to convince you that I have a sword and I tell you I don't, he'll just accuse me of lying until you get angry with me. At that point, you'll probably shoot me and he will get exactly what he wants, me dead.
Your mind works very well, doesn't it?
I have no idea. Lately, it's been getting me into a lot of trouble.
Jerchenko, I'm inclined to believe her. She hasn't lied to me yet.
Don't let her fool you. She can summon it at will. She used it to kill the man I sent to kill her.
All right, if she's got a sword, where the hell is it?
I don't know. She can summon it forth at will, though.
You realize how crazy that sounds, especially coming from a man of science? I wouldn't think that you'd fall for that superstitious mumbo-jumbo so easily.
It's not crazy. I saw it.
Could be time to get your eyes checked out.
Fine.
Don't worry about him. Are you ready to get going?
We are.
All right, then.
Jerchenko dashed towards Anya, a large boning knife clutched tightly in his hands. She closed her eyes. Anya deflected his blade, then pivoted, dropping as she did so. Her blade cut horizontally across Jerchenko's midsection, deep into his body.
My, my.
Anya looked up at Misha, who had a pistol trained on her.
It would appear as though my former would-be colleague was correct.
Yeah, well, you can't blame a girl for trying to keep her stuff safe.
You want to explain this to me?
Not really.
I could offer to kill Bob here and make you talk that way. Or I could give you to my men and they could have some fun with you before you spit out the truth.
You won't do that.
And what makes you think I won't?
Because as bad a man as you are, you're not a beast. Not like him.
Perhaps.
No perhaps about it. You're as good a man as is possible for someone in your line of work.
Don't flatter me too much, Anya. I might have to kill you just to protect my reputation.
Let's get out of here, Anya, please.
Oh, we are, Bob.
Are you?
Which one of your men is going to help me?
None.
What are you talking about?
I want that sword.
Trust me, if I could give you this thing, I would in a heartbeat. But I'm afraid it's not that easy. For some bizarre reason, the sword chose me. Now I'm stuck with it like a bad set of luggage.
Oh, there must be a way.
Tell you what, you come up with a way for me to do it, call me. We can talk.
Anya started to push the gurney, but one of Misha's men blocked her way. Anya turned back to face Misha.
Are we really going to go through this again?
Let me have it. I want to see it.
You know, the Japanese samurai used to believe that if you unsheathed a sword, you had to cut something. That if the blade was only brought out for show, it was an insult to the sword itself.
So, we'll cut Bob then.
I don't like the way this conversation is heading.
The sword stays with me. That's my final offer.
Not much of an offer. Here's my counteroffer.
The small caliber round tore through Bob's thigh, sending a spurt of blood across the sheets.
I shot him in the quadriceps. He'll be fine for now. But given the extent of his other injuries, you'll need to get him to a doctor soon. Otherwise, who knows? Shock could settle in, and he could very likely die. The sword, Anya. Now.
Maybe I was wrong.
Oh?
Yeah, you're as big a piece of garbage as Jerchenko was.
That's better.
Anya looked at Bob. He'd clamped one of his hands over the wound to stop the bleeding. Misha leveled the pistol at Bob's head.
Last chance. The next bullet goes into his head. And then I start on you. And you know, there's only so much pain a human being can tolerate.
Listen to me, you...
Misha suddenly pirouetted and crumpled in a heap on the floor. His other men took rounds and dropped as well. Anya ducked down, but saw the church being overrun with men dressed in black coveralls and respirators. Two of them rushed over and covered her, while the other members of the team fanned out, clearing the remainder of the church.
Are you all right?
My friend needs medical attention.
Medic! Treat this man here!
Who are you guys?
The commando removed his respirator. Anya could see the marks on his face from where the rubber housing met flesh. His eyes looked sharp, and they reminded her of someone.
We're friends of Gregor's.
Anya could see it now. The way he carried himself, the way he spoke and stood. It was as if Gregor had come back from the dead.
I see.
Where is he?
I don't know. He was underground in a secret laboratory, but I don't know where he might be now.
All right, we'll find him.
How in the world did you ever find us?
Gregor had a global positioning satellite transponder on his body. We all have them. It took us a little while to get here when he failed to report in last night. We knew there was trouble.
The medic was doing good work on Bob, who smiled weakly at Anya.
How's my friend?
Medic, how is this man?
Your friend should be dead, but he will live.
Defying the odds again, huh?
I'm like a bad fungus, apparently.
Apparently.
We'll fly him out.
Thank you.
Anya explained all the events that had transpired. She hadn't realized how much detail there was in retelling the story of their adventures. Every once in a while, she would look over at Bob and smile. He looked tired, and Anya suddenly realized that she was exhausted. The pressure of the past few days had drained her. She needed a vacation in a bad way. From the rear of the church, Anya saw movement. Four commandos bore a stretcher out of the kitchen. Anya could see Gregor's body lying on it, covered in a sheet. As they filed down the center aisle, Anya said a silent goodbye to him. The commandos filed outside and down the steps. Several more men came over to Bob's gurney. They wheeled him to the front door, wrapped him in blankets, and then carried him down the steps. Anya took one final look around the church, then walked outside into the bright new day. Anya sat drinking her cold draft beer in a small bar in Brooklyn. Around her, bar patrons mingled and watched a bank of widescreen televisions broadcasting football games. Anya took a sip of her drink and then wiped her mouth on a napkin. The booth she sat in had a high back. It afforded her privacy, and lately that was something she was coveting even more than she normally did. Anya looked up. Threading his way through the crowd was a familiar face, and Anya smiled in spite of herself. As Bob worked through the crowds, he leaned on a cane and waved to Anya. She waved back, and he made it through the throng.
About time you got here.
Hey, you try getting around on one of these things. They're a royal pain in the ass, let me tell you.
At least you get to maneuver around, huh?
Yeah, at least. What are you drinking?
Sam Adams Winter Lager, one of the best in the world.
I'll have one as well. Winter Lager over here. Oh, yeah. I haven't forgotten about that beer I owe you.
I'm okay.
You sure you're okay?
I'm all right. Honestly.
I think that trip over yonder took a lot out of you. I know it sure as hell devastated me.
Almost dying can do that to a person. God knows I've been there enough.
What we saw over there, well, it was horrible.
The whole village, all his experiments. Even the nice old cook who made me breakfast the day I left you to get help.
You stopped for breakfast?
She forced me to eat.
Yeah, okay. Well then, here's to surviving.
Always a good thing.
And to Gregor. It wasn't your fault. You gotta get over it.
I'm trying.
You're not trying hard enough, Anya. You only did what you had to do to get us out of there.
I suppose.
So, I've got an offer to do a documentary on what we experienced over there.
You do?
Yep. I pitched the story and they loved it. The cane helped too, walking wounded and all. TV execs love that crap. It's too bad I'm so fuzzy on what actually happened. All the meds took their toll, but I'm sure I can give them a good story anyway.
You're certainly getting right back on the horse again, aren't you?
It's all I know how to do. Speaking of which...
Anya followed Bob's gaze to a gorgeous blonde. She was giving him the eye. Anya smirked.
Must be that cane of yours.
May as well get some mileage out of it. You mind if I...
Go. Find yourself a playmate. After all we've been through, you deserve it.
What about you?
I wasn't the one who died and came back to life. Make sure you tell her about the resurrection. Women are suckers for that stuff.
Will do.
Bob slid out of the booth, grabbed his cane and his beer, and hobbled over to the bar.
You're through feeling sorry for yourself?
What?
Anya looked up, ready to throw her beer in the face of the speaker, but she stopped when she saw who it was.
What are you doing here?
I heard there was an amazing woman here feeling down in the dumps over some particularly nasty stuff that happened in Siberia.
And you decided to swing by and make me feel better?
That was part of it. You mind if I sit down?
Make yourself comfortable.
Garin Braden slid into the booth, somehow able to squeeze his body into the small confines. As usual, he was clad head to toe in black. The cashmere turtleneck sweater seemed to hug his upper torso, showing off tight muscles and steel-strong ligaments. He folded his hands in front of him.
Does this place serve a good drink?
Beer's good.
All right, then I'll have that, although it is a little bourgeois for me. But before that, I've got something you might be interested in.
I'm interested in a vacation. You have one of those?
Sun, tropical environment, exotic flowers.
It's a start.
Then have I got the perfect trip for you?
Anya looked at him and smiled. From somewhere inside, she started to feel better. Maybe Bob had it right after all. best to just get back on the horse and keep riding.
Tell me about it.
Well, I came across someone who has...
As Garin leaned forward and began talking, Anya let her excitement grow until it washed away all of the sadness she'd been feeling. She was alive. It felt good.
Rogue Angel, The Soul Stealer, is a graphic audio production. Rogue Angel trademark owned by Harlequin Enterprises Limited, used by others under license. Copyright 2008, Worldwide Library. Production copyright 2008, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Performed by Nanette Savard, Colleen Delaney, James Konacek, Christopher Graybill, Terrence Aselford, Richard Rowan, Michael Glenn, Scott McCormick, Dylan Lynch, Andy Clements, M.B. Van Dorn, and Kate Torrey. Additional red shirts performed by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Nanette Savard. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Temeskin Wubna and Nathaniel Perry. The Rogue Angel theme was composed by Chris Rowan. Featuring additional original music by Nathaniel Perry, Johann Detweiler, and Dan Smith. Book adapted for graphic audio by Matt Jacobs. If you enjoyed Rogue Angel, be sure to look for The Serrano Legacy. Available at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
Harris Serrano, captain of the armed civilian yacht Sweet Delight, has successfully defended the agricultural world Xavier from an attack by raiders. Now, a fleet battle group, led by Commodore Deccan Garavay, has arrived to assist in the defense. But Harris has suspicions about the Commodore.
You think he's turned?
We have to stop them.
If you're wrong about any of it...
Then I'm dead.
Ah, Captain! May I call you Harris? What was it you wanted to talk to me about?
Well, Commodore...
Attention, all personnel. This is Commander Harris Serrano, now acting captain of this vessel.
There's something jumping in.
Engage.
Meanwhile, on the planet Patchcock, Ronnie, George, and Rafaela are on a secret mission to investigate the murder of the daughter of a wealthy family.
So you think Otala knew something she wasn't supposed to know?
You need to mind your own business.
You killed Otala?
No, you don't.
Is he dead? What about the weapon?
Drop that weapon! Get on the floor! Move!
You won't believe this. They're under arrest for murder and attempted sexual assault.
Serrano Legacy, Book 3, Winning Colors, Part 2. From Graphic Audio. If you can't find that hot graphic audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.